Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we get into our study, how many of you received the text from me with a video from John Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Okay. If you didn't get that, I'll send it to you this evening after the Bible study. But I'm telling you, this is an urgent, urgent message. And this man speaks to the nations, John Kilpatrick. You guys remember the Brownsville revival that went on for like 4 years, 5 years? And people were just getting saved in Florida, left and right. Matter of fact, evangelist Felipe Reyes went there when it was happening. And he said, man, he couldn't even get in the place. And that place holds about close to, I don't know, 4,500 people. But God woke him up this week. And Sister Yolanda and I, we were listening to the message all the way to L.A. and coming back. And God showed him that there's a judgment coming. And hot ironic, my brother Dale called me today. His insider from Homeland Security spoke to him yesterday and said, we need to have our head on a swivel now. And then the FBI came out after that yesterday. FBI said that there are so many terrorist red flags around the nation right now, they can't even go after all of them. Something's coming down. And we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But in John Kilpatrick's message, man, I'm telling you, he was spot on. Because there are four sins that brings judgment to a nation. The first one is idolatry. People have things in their life that it's idols to them. And they put those idols in front of God. Then the second one, he said, is the shedding of innocent blood. How the blood is crying out from the ground with 70 million aborted babies. And then the third one is sexual immorality. How there's homosexual in the whole land right now. And transgenderism. And I know when preachers preach about that, I have family members that are involved in that lifestyle. And some of you do too. But see, it's a spirit that's in them. It's not the person, it's that wicked spirit that's got in. And so it's in everywhere now. It's in the schools, it's in the courtrooms, it's in the politicians, the government, it's everywhere now. And so God, when a nation allows that to happen, he's got to send judgment. And I believe the fourth one was, honey, help me with the fourth one. There was something to do with the, it was sexual immorality.
It was a shedding of blood.
Shedding of blood. That was number two. Idolatry, and then there was one last one. Anyway, oh yes, those who have forsaken Israel, and they have come alongside the Palestinians. He goes, that's the same group that's for abortion, that's for homosexuality, for transgenderism. They're all included in that clump. And they're throughout our whole campuses, in over 1,000 college campuses around our nation. And so we are going to see something we've never seen in this generation yet. And it's coming down the pike. So now I know why the messages God has given me Sundays is all about drawing close to God. Draw as close as you can through the Lord. Because he's the only one that's going to watch over us and protect us. Amen?
Right, amen?
Only he can. If the bombs drop, if we get attacked by an enemy, so be it. Lord, we're with you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 John, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 7. And so let me prepare the board up here. I've entitled this evening's message, Walking in Truth. How many believe we need to walk in truth?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why? Because I read during prayer time this evening, what? Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. And so, let's read these scriptures, and then we'll have the Holy Spirit have His way this evening. Amen? And it reads, "The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." Verse 3, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love." Notice he's always emphasizing love and truth. Look at verse 4 here. "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth." Amen. Let me just pause. For those of us that are here tonight, we're here because we're walking in truth. Because we love God. We're here for only that reason. Amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because we love the Lord thy God and we want to hear truth from his word. Look at this. "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." Look at verse 6. "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the very beginning, you should walk in it." This is why I got the message tonight, walking in truth. Look at verse 7 here. "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Amen. So let's break this down. Let's go back to verse 1. "The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth." Praise God. You see, saints, in this informal letter, this was a letter. This is the second letter in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I believe there's two other letters. John did not stand on his authority as an apostle, but spoke about himself as an elder. As an elder. What is an elder? An elder is a person that God has assigned to minister the gospel. Amen? Apostles, what they do is they go from city to city, town to town, and they set up churches. But in this letter, he wasn't in the office of an apostle, but as an elder. One who watched over the believers with loving concern for their special well-being. You see, my friends, John had been one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Remember that? He was one of the 12. And he wrote the Gospel of John, three letters, and the book of Revelation. If you haven't read Revelation, you got to read that book. It's fascinating that he may have been the only remaining living member of the 12 disciples when all these epistles were being written. Did you know that John was cast in a pot of oil? And he survived it? Oh, yes. A burning oil. Oh, they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to kill all the disciples and the apostles. So the word elder also refers to John's age as well. He must have been an old man when he wrote this epistle. Obviously, his readers recognized the author from this title alone. And so I found some scriptures to come alongside this very first scripture found in 2 John. And I found this in Psalms 119. Look at this. "The entirety of your word is what? Truth." Can I get amen? There's no error in God's word. Truth. "And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." When God says, I have sent and decreed righteousness, especially to a nation, It's going to endure forever. And what nation can you think of right now that he made an everlasting covenant with?
Israel.
Israel, yes. Israel. He didn't make an everlasting covenant with America. People think that Jesus drapes himself with the American flag. No, he doesn't. Hallelujah. He made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let me just say these. All those evildoers that went in there on October 7th and destroyed those people in their kibbutzes, they opened up pregnant women, pulled the babies out, and cut the heads in front of the mom before she died. Then they cut her head off. They did atrocious things. They gang raped the women. They went in and shot the fathers and the grandparents in the head and took them outside and chopped them up. That is from hell. That's a demonic spirit. It's from hell itself. And let me just say this. I don't want to be in their shoes when they see God face to face. God said, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." And so, I know Israel's trying to protect themselves, but God ultimately is going to see these evildoers face to face. And so, also John wrote this, look at this, in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth." Why? Because your word is truth. I love how King James says, "Thy word is truth." God's word is true. There's many books about the Bible, and they have their place, but nothing takes the place as the written word of God that's in your Bible. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's forever settled. You cannot amend it. You cannot change it. Praise God. So now, let's go to verse 2 of 2 John, and it reads, "Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." When he wrote this, okay, when he wrote this, the Holy Ghost was being poured out. So for 2,000 years, God has poured out his Spirit. And we are the recipients of that grace. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We too, 2,000 years later, have received the Holy Spirit. And now we can walk in truth. And we'll discern what is true and what's a lie now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Someone that's not born of God won't understand the things of God. But us, we can. Why? Because we've been born from above. We've got His Spirit. When we hear truth, we know it. It's almost like the innermost being, it starts leaping for joy because we're hearing truth. And we're not hearing any kind of lie. You see, saints, the truth that lives in us will be in our hearts forever. It personifies truth of the living God. Praise God. God gave the truth to the people through Christ Jesus. The full expression and embodiment of truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we read earlier when we opened up in prayer, when our prayer, we wrote, and I shared this scripture, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let me just pause there right now. Saints of God, I'm here to let you know that there is no other way. You can't go through the Father through Buddhism, through Hinduism, through
Catholicism.
Yeah, that's right. All these false religions. The Quran. I'm on record right now. That's okay, you can turn me off. But you know what? You cannot get to the Father by anyone through but Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, let me just say this. This is what separates all the religions of the world to our faith in Christianity through the Word of God. When we are born again, filled with the Spirit of God, hallelujah, we understand that that was the only way to get to the Father. That's right. No other way. So I heard it said best. Because I heard it from another person that believes in a whole different religion. It was an odd one, and I forgot the name. That's why it was so odd. I don't even remember it. But I remember what I told him. He goes, every path will get to the Father. I go, you know what? You're right, it will. Because when you die, you're going to stand before God.
That's right.
Yeah, you'll get there all right. But you're going to find out, because you rejected Jesus Christ, you'll be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and forever. Man, I don't want to be in that man's shoes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church right up here. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who?
Jesus.
The truth is in Jesus. So throughout the whole New Testament, Jesus, hallelujah, is high and lifted up. You see, truth dwells in believers because Christ dwells in them as the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit that's living in you is the Spirit of truth. Can I get an amen? It ain't anti-spirit. It's the truth of the Spirit. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Let me just say this right now. If God truly lives in us, are we going to have compromise in our heart to not believe the things that he has asked us to do? Or are we going to learn our best to obey him? We're going to learn our best, because we're not perfect. Can I get amen? Amen. We'll make mistakes. But because we've been born of him, we have to look at his word and say, okay, God, help me believe. Not just believe it, because we know, already know it's already forever settled in heaven, but help me walk in it.
Amen.
Help me walk in it. We believe it's there. We believe this is your word. But help me walk in it. And look at this scripture right up here in John 14:15. Look what he wrote here. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The helper is the Holy Ghost. That he may abide with you forever. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Point to your neighbor right now and just say, you know him.
You know him.
That's right. You know him. That's right. You know him. Praise God. Praise God. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Amen.
Man, isn't that a blessing to know the Holy Spirit lives inside?
Amen.
This is why we should never fear anything. Yeah, we'll get surprised and maybe get spooked. You know, but man, don't let fear overcome you. Because greater is he that lives within us than he that's in the world. Can I get amen? Look at what he wrote in the next verse of scripture in chapter 16. Look at this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Not some truth, but all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Wow. Wow. There was this gentleman that I've been following. And he had Perry Stone and John Kilpatrick's, he took little snips of their sermons that happened this week. Perry Stone woke up too in a dream this week. I hope he shares it. By the way, for those of you that have never seen Perry Stone, he will be up in Anaheim Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And I think Sister Yolanda and I, we're going to go Sunday night. That's the best night we can go to. I'm hoping that he shares that dream. Because what he saw tsunamis on both sides of our coast. God woke him up this week. And then John Kilpatrick had that dream this week. Something is coming that is going to rock this world. It's going to rock this nation. I'm telling you. I wouldn't share this if I didn't believe in my spirit that these things are coming. They're coming. Why? Because we live in a rebellious nation. And the majority of this nation has turned from God. Yeah, there's a remnant here. There's churches that love him. But he's going to watch over his. Can I get amen?
Amen?
There's many churches that I know that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we're one of them. Praise God. And so there's many churches that God's going to watch over. But the majority of this nation has turned from God. has turned from God. Don't believe these politicians no more. Republican, Democrat, they're all on the same cahoots. They're all on the same level. They all embrace abortion. They all embrace homosexuality. And God's calling these things an abomination. And when God says it's an abomination, we better learn to hate the things that he hates and love the things that he loves. Can I get amen? There should be no compromise in us. If you call, oh, well, yeah, but you know, I got so-and-so. Yeah. Well, you know, pray that they get delivered. And go to them in love and tell them to repent. Tell them God loves you, God will save you, but you got to repent. But we're too afraid, oh, I don't want their feelings to get hurt. So who cares about feelings? They're going to end up in eternal damnation if we don't say nothing. Can I get amen?
Amen.
My goodness. Help us, Jesus. Truth, therefore, sense of God includes but means more than correct precepts or a set of orthodox teachings. Truth centers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The truth is the reality of Jesus Christ as opposed to the lies of the false teachers. And there's a lot of false teachers. A lot of them. Remember we read this? We're going to go back to it right now. In the prior epistles of 1 John. Look at 1 John. Look at this. 2:21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is what? Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. We prayed for you, sister, that you would go boldly. Amen? You go boldly and speak to that man. I'm not mentioning your name right now or the person you're going to go pray for because we're online. And I don't want to put anybody on blast. But go pray in the power of the Holy Ghost and share that person would repent. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, it says right here, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is... That's a spirit. That's a spirit that some people have in them that needs to be bound up, hallelujah, and cast down so that Jesus could come in and fill that void. Because every man and woman that comes into this world has a void. And many of us, until we get saved, we were looking for love in all the wrong places. You remember that country and western song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Oh yeah. Some of us were looking for love in bars. Some of us gangs. Some of us, man, we would just party until 10 o'clock we'd party all night until 10 o'clock in the morning and still wanted a party. My goodness. Oh, come on. Oh no, that was none of you in here, right? I'm just talking about me back in the day, huh? You see, my friends, people may choose to deny the truth and leave the fellowship, but that doesn't change the truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, there's some people that huff and puff. I'm out of here. And they go do their thing. That doesn't change the truth of what God said. No matter where you go, the truth will follow you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And because Christ is eternal, truth is also eternal. Not subject to change because Christ lives in us believers. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But he and his truth will be with us, with you, forever and forever. And how long is forever?
Forever.
Amen. Amen. So let's move on to verse 3. And it says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this, saints. The day we got saved and we got filled with the Spirit of God, how many of you can honestly say that he filled your heart with mercy and peace now and grace? Oh, yes. Come on. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, man, I fell in love with people. There were some people I couldn't be around with. But when I got saved, I didn't even look at that no more. I just wanted them to know who Jesus was and what he did in my life and what he's done in your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
This is what we need to tell them. You know, Israel, sometimes we get so, we get so nervous to share our faith with our friends, our family members. But I'm here to let you know, because God lives in us now, there's nothing to fear no more. And you have to look at them. You have to look at these people that you think that may reject you. You got to look at them with the eyes of pity. Look at the man. I need to come to you and share it with you. Because you should have a heart that thinks like this. I don't want to see them drop into hell. I love them enough so that I could come and share the gospel with them and tell them and give them an opportunity. You see, when you change your mindset, when God gives you a paradigm change, you're not looking about you no more, about my fears and phobias. You're looking at a person that's ready to perish. And you need to come and bring the gospel to them. And then let God be God. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. Like the mailman. All he does is deliver the mail. He's done what he's supposed to do. Here's a mail for so-and-so. I'm going to put it in your mailbox. It's up for us to read it or toss it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, when God works might in our life, we should have the unction to tell people about who Jesus is. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, saints, the words grace and peace were standard greetings in many letters of that day. But nothing has changed in 2,000 years. We should greet one another with love and mercy and grace. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Grace means God's undeserved favor shown to sinners whereby he saves them. Jesus saves them and gives them strength to live for him. I remember when I couldn't live for God. Man, I would tell you, get out of my face. People used to come and witness to me. You guys shared that. I've shared that story when I worked at Western Lumber. It was lunchtime. I used to park 3 blocks away from the place. And man, I had my moment. I had my Cheech and Chong moment. All the windows rolled up. Blasting away on my hookah. And it wasn't strawberry incense. Oh, no. And then it was so much smoke in there, someone was knocking on my window. And I rolled down the window and all the contact went out. And there was a little short Hispanic brother named Jose Tejeda. He had a little tract. Jesus loves you. I mean, praise God for his boldness. Praise God that he obeyed God to come and share that with me. But I grabbed this tract and I ripped it up. And I got out of my car and I got in his grill. I said, you ever come with me that again? You're not going to have a nose left. Yeah, because, you know, I was one of those ignorant bullies.
Knucklehead.
I was a chief sinner. But see, until God got a hold of my heart, once he got a hold of my heart, I remember when I got saved, I ran back to the lumber yard about a year later, and I found him. I said, Compa Jose. He saw me. I had a Bible in my hand. I ran to him. You know, you ever see a commercial where people run together like this? He saw the Bible from afar in my hand. He ran toward me and I ran toward him. And I hugged him and I was crying with him. And I said, thank you, Jose. Thank you for sharing the love of God with me. I got saved. I got saved. And man, we were having a Jesus moment right there. We both were crying. If it wasn't for people like that who didn't care how people would react, he was just there giving me, hallelujah, the good news. He knew that I was a bully. He knew that he could have got punched in the face. But he did it regardless. I'm sharing this with you because those who are listening right now maybe have family members that you're afraid, co-workers, friends. You're afraid to go tell them about the gospel. Well, let me just say this, and then we're going to move on. The Bible says that if you are ashamed of Jesus, he will be ashamed of you. And he will cancel and write your name off the book for not opening your mouth to share with others. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's scripture. That's word. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you on that day. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 4. Here we go. We're going to go back into the screen. Look at this. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. You see, Saints, John had only met some of the believers in the church and was glad to find them living in the truth. Wouldn't you be so blessed to know that maybe you went away for a while, maybe you lived and went living in another state. And then you came back a couple of years later and you find out that some of your family members are living for the Lord. Well, just imagine. John just wrote this. He said it best. He said, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. Wow. So in other words, he knew that what he sowed into their lives did not come back void. And that's a lesson for us. Can I get amen? That what we sow into people's lives, we got to know that God sent me to sow that into your heart and let God be God, and he will bring that to fruition in his time. We think sometimes, oh, I'm going to share this right now, and now you're coming to Jesus. No, you planted that seed. The Bible says, Paul wrote it best, some water and some plant, but only God gives the increase. So when you share the gospel with someone, when you drive away or when you come home, you pray, say, God, thank you that I shared you, God. Now, God, you do the work. You cause them to be saved. You grow in their heart and draw them to yourself. And that's what we need to do. Just plant or water and then watch God give the increase by faith. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, John was probably speaking of those he met at some place or another at the local church at the time. Praise God. His joy at meeting them and then discovering that they were living in truth prompted him to write this epistle. Because he wrote it down for us 2,000 years later that he was rejoicing to see children walking in the truth now. These are people that he never spoke to. But he spoke to people there and they shared the gospel. And people now are coming into the saving knowledge. Amen? In identifying only some of the children, he was not necessarily excluding the others. No. Living in the truth refers to the Christians conducting their lives as they had been commanded by the Father. The commandment to live in the truth came from the Father through the Son to the disciples. And it passed all the way down to us 2,000 years later. Amen. And guess what Jesus now, how he perceives us. Look at this in the word right up here. Found in John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Jesus calls us friends. We're a friend of God. You know that song? I'm a friend of God. Yeah, he calls us. What do you think they got that? They got that from this scripture. Because now we are friends of God. Look at this. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Praise God. Now, here's the Great Commission. The Great Commission is once we get saved, this is what is expected from us. Now, he's not going to pull us like my father used to pull me by my ears when we didn't want to get a haircut when we were little. He used to drag us by our ears to get on that barber seat because none of us wanted haircuts at the time. But man, my dad would grab us by our ears. God's not going to grab you by your ears, okay? But what he's going to say speaks volumes, and you can expect this to happen if you obey him. Let's go there to Mark 16. Look at this. We're going to look at Mark 16, 14 through 18. Later he appeared to the 11 as he sat on the table. This is after his resurrection. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He had to rebuke his own disciples. He goes, it's me. Here I am. They all ran away. He's dead. He's gone. We're never going to see him again. It's like, wait a minute. He had to bind that unbelief. Can I get an amen? And some of us find ourselves like, oh, God's not going to heal me. He doesn't love me. Oh, come on. You better think otherwise. He wants the best for our life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's impossible to those who love him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But look what he had to do with his disciples that he ministered to for 3.5 years. They saw the miracles. They saw the dead being raised. They saw eyes open that were blind. They saw the dumb to speak and the lame to walk. And yet, he said, when this temple is destroyed, it will be raised up on the third day. They were looking at the temple there in Jerusalem. This is how far off they were. He was talking about himself. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So look what it says here. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked. God had to rebuke their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, here, look what he said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Now, look at verse 16 right up here. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Can I get amen?
Amen.
They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is what God wants to do in your life, to be used by him. How many of you want to be used by him? I want to be used by God every day. Every day. Listen, we're not promised tomorrow. Yesterday is already gone. He gives us one day at a time. Can I get amen? So every morning he allows us to rise up from our bed. We should say, God, use me this day. Lord, let there be an encounter. Lord, let there be a divine appointment. Are you praying for divine appointments? Are you praying that God will bring someone your way? Or you enter into their path and tell them about Jesus. Tell them. Because a lot of them, until you speak and tell them, they're going to continue to walk in unbelief. My goodness. Look what it says. And they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly. Now, you have to go further than what it says here in the New King James. But if you do a Greek, because the Word of God in the New Testament was written in Greek, translated in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So you have a Greek connotation, but you gotta go a little deeper sometimes, because none of us are going to pick up snakes. Can I get an amen? And none of us are going to drink Clorox and say, God, I'm going to drink Clorox because I know nothing's going to kill me. Huh? Think again. He's not talking about that. When you look at it, it's, and it says, and they shall, look at this, and they will drink anything deadly, but it will by no means hurt them. You know what that is? That is being intoxicated of the world's philosophy. Humanism. We're talking about those who are in the occult. All that stuff right there. So here's the thing. This stuff won't hurt you no more. Why? Because you're a child of the living God. I don't care how many people try to put a curse on you now. It'll slip right off you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because there's a whole lot of demon snakes like Leviathan that want to take you out. But it says, now that you are a child of God, you'll be able to cast them out. You'll be able to bind them and rebuke them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then it says about speaking in new tongues. Yeah, God will give you the gift of tongues like a lot of us have. But you know what that new tongue will do? It will prevent you from cursing again. You'll have a new language. I love you, God. I praise you. I worship you. I love you. No more bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And then Jesus Christ comes out after that. It's like, what? That's like nails on a chalkboard. See, he gives you a new tongue. And that tongue is to praise him and to worship him and to glorify him and to magnify him. You go, just go back to your BC years before you got saved. Every other word was the bleepity word, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Bleepity this and bleepity that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you remember bleepity bleep. Come on, come on. Oh, has it been that long? Oh, man, we used to roll that way, huh? That was our M.O. But God has given us a new tongue. A tongue that no longer curses, but a tongue that will glorify him and lift each other up and cause people to grow in their faith. Because love will be now pouring out of your heart, where at one time cursing was spewing out. So love doesn't spew out of us, it pours out of us. There's a difference from spewing and pouring. Pouring is like pouring a glass. Spewing is like a vomit. Oh, yeah. You see, as John had explained in another letter, and this is his commandment, we must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he what? Commanded us. I got scripture to back that up. Look at this. Remember, we looked at this scripture a couple of weeks ago. In 1 John 3:23, look at this. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and hate one another. Mock one another. Destroy one another. No, it says what? Love one another as he gave us his commandment. Look at this. He gave us the commandment. To live in truth, saints of God, therefore involves believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Son, and loving others as an action. We need to have, and this needs to become action in our life. Can I get amen? Amen. As he's poured into us his love, people need to see now the actions of that results. And watch God do the miraculous in your life and their life. Can I get amen? Amen. So let's move on. We got a couple more verses to break down tonight. Look at verse 5. Hallelujah. In 2 John. Look at this. And now I plead with you, lady, now. Notice he opened up about lady. Okay. He wasn't speaking about a particular woman. Because lady, when you do a Greek study, he was talking about the church. And its children, meaning the congregation. Okay. That's why you don't see no name attached to this. He calls it lady. Okay, now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we, what? Love one another. You see, saints, John urged the church to love one another. This was not a new commandment. The believers had heard this from the very beginning. The Christians have been taught this commandment from the time they first heard the gospel preached. Praise God. That's right. Look at it right up here in John 13:35. By this, all will know that what? You are what? My disciples, if you what? What? That's how we're going to know. That's how people are going to know that you're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have love for one another. But if you have discontent, if you're angry at someone, I can't speak to that person no more. I'm writing them off. Oh, come on. We've been there before, huh? Listen, if there's someone, whether it's in your family, if there's someone, whether it's an acquaintance, someone on the job, and some of us have established enemies even on the job. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Don't go home with it.
That's right.
Don't come home with it. You give it to Jesus, to God, no matter what I do. There's nothing in my own strength that could make peace here. Only you can. Give it to God. And show that person, you know what? God's grace. When they curse at you, smile. When they talk about you, it's okay. You don't have to get in their grill no more. That was the old school way. Old school way, what up? You'd want to get in their grill and chop it up. But now, we have to just let that go. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus hung on that cross. He was beaten and torn. His skin was torn. He was naked. He didn't have a terry cloth like we see in the movies. He was naked before the world. And he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of love is that? It's beyond our comprehension. If I was God in the flesh, I would call down some legions of angels. Come and get them all. Destroy all these evildoers. No. He had to die for their sin. Man. When you look at that kind of love, it's beyond our capability. But let me just say this. We can learn to love like Him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Just learn to love like Him. It doesn't come overnight. But just as you get more God's Word in you, and you start growing in your faith, you'll become like Him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. Amen. And then we read this right up here. Look at this. In 1 John 2:7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. That God is love. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, saints, the statement that Christians should love one another is a recurrent New Testament theme. Over and over and over. Paul, when he wrote the majority of the epistles of the books in the New Testament, greetings, love from God the Father. He always spoke of love and greeting. He didn't write down, and for you knuckleheads, this is for you. No, he never opened up his letters like that. Yet love for one's neighbor is an old command, first appearing in the third book of Moses. Did you know that? Look at this. Look, right up here in Leviticus. Leviticus 19:18. Look what God told Moses to tell the children of Israel. You shall not take vengeance, nor hear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So Jesus always quoted the Old Testament. Why? Because he was there too. Jesus was there too in the Old Testament. Okay, so who could tell me who was the fourth man in the fire when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace?
Jesus.
He went in the fire with them. Because when King Nebuchadnezzar looked, you got to remember that fiery furnace was turned up 7 times hotter. And when one of those servants opened the door, they died instantly because that's how hot it was. As soon as they opened the door, they died right there of the heat. It just burned them up. And they threw the three Hebrew boys in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to do it. But he made a decree. His decree was this. That if you don't bow down to me and the idol that I just made. Remember the idol that was so tall. Made of clay and gold and silver and metal and bronze. And he wanted the whole nation to bow down to that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not bowing down to that. He goes, well, then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. He goes, so be it, whether we live or die. Cast us into that. So they cast him into there. And when he looked, they were still sitting down in there. Flames and heat. And not one single hair was singed. And then he looked again, and there was a fourth man in there. Let me just say this. To those of you that are going through a fiery trial, God is with you.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
God is with you.
Amen.
He's the fourth man in the fire with you. So no matter what you're going through right now, God is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. See, believers can show love in many different ways, saints, by avoiding prejudice and discrimination, by accepting people, by listening and helping, giving and serving, and by refusing to judge. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We are not to judge one another. God will do all the judging He wants to do at the end. But we are to pray for one another. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Knowing God's command is not enough. We cannot judge. Praise God. Praise God. Those who claim to love God and believe in His Son must put their faith into practice by loving. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look what Matthew 22 says here. We're coming in for a close. Look at this. In Matthew 22, 37, look at this. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What? So all the 614, I believe, of all the laws in the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments all hang on this scripture. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Wow. So here's the key for us as believers. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love one another as yourself. And guess what? You have been received by God, and God will receive you and use you mightily. But when you hate someone, and you stabbing people in the back with your tongue, He will withhold His presence from you. So when you hear people talking about, gossiping about congregants, or saying, "I don't like that pastor because he says this or that. I don't like members from that church, or my own family members, my brother, my sister, whoever it may be." And you're spewing out. You know, this is what I've come to understand. Gossiping does this. It makes you feel like you're above that person on whom you're gossiping about. So you're trying to get people to come on board with you and make yourself look good and that person look little. God said He hates that. He hates that. Why? Because that's what people do. They cause division. And they cause discord. And when God says, if you commit discord, it's the work of the devil. My goodness. My goodness. Look what else that we read a few weeks ago. I really believe we need to tie it in with Matthew we just read right now. In 1 John 2:7. Look at this. "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." Who's the true light? Jesus. Look at this in verse 9. Look at this. "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." Oh, that's right. "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Praise God. Praise God. So I'm just saying this. If you got a knot with someone, get it right. Get it right before Jesus comes. Get it right. There's some people in your lives, in our lives, that we draw a line and we don't want them to cross that line. We want them in our life. We've already ostracized them from our life. Get your heart right. Go to God. Say, "God, don't let me feel this way about this person, because You made them. You created them. If You created them, You created me too. And I want your grace and mercy on my life. So let's move on now to 2 John and verse 6. Look at this. We only got 6 and 7 to break down. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk what?
In it.
In it. Not around it. Not hop over it. Walk in it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, saints, lest anyone wander what John meant by these words, love, he explained it here. Love does not focus on emotions, feelings. You know, how many of you sometimes operate in your feelings? Okay, just me. Right? So with feelings, it's like a roller coaster ride. I can love you this morning and hate you tonight. Help us, God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Instead, love means doing what God has commanded, despite of the situation, despite of what someone said about you. You know, when someone says, you know what, so-and-so thinks this about you, I said, let's not go any further. Let's just pray that God will give us peace, and God will give that person peace. That's it. Let it go. You don't want to hear the gossip. Because you know what it'll do? It'll cause anger in your heart, resentment, discontentment, and make you to cause that you have an enemy now in your heart. Let it go. Who cares? Because that same person may love me tomorrow. Who knows? May love you tomorrow. We can't go by feelings. We got to go by what? What God says. Love is expressed by obedience. Obedience fulfills the command to love, saints. And the one command to love one another sums up all of God's commands. And obedience to God's commands is the sure test of love. John made the same proclamation in his first letter. Look at this right up here. In 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should what?
Love
one another. And look at this. In 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Who would do that? A total stranger that would lay down his life for you and for me. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Go that extra mile for someone. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up in his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. I just witnessed an act of love that I haven't seen in a while. When our sister went to the hospital to pray for one of her co-workers who was on life support, and stood there for 3 days praying that God would deliver this man. And they were telling the family, the doctors were telling the family, we got to pull the plug now. Can we pull the plug now? And our sister right here was saying, and others of his family, no. We want to see what God's going to do. And days later, he woke up from his coma. He had no brain waves. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so to a doctor's point of view, he's dead. And so was Lazarus. Lazarus was in the tomb for 3 days. And he said, take away the stone. And they said, but Lord, he stinketh by now. Well, guess what? That man's situation, I think his name is Carlos. Am I correct?
Yes.
He was behind that stone.
Yeah.
And they were already counting him out as dead. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Jesus came, though, and said, take ye away the stone.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on. Give God a shout of praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus stepped in and said, okay, this is the report you're giving, But you know what? I created him. I know every cell and fiber of his being. And I know how to wake him up.
Come on.
Hallelujah. And all God had to do was just touch him. And we had the opportunity to go in and share the gospel with this man. Spoke to us. And he said the sinner's prayer with us. A man that they wanted to pull the plug on. Jesus, help us, oh God. God, deal with our unbelief at times. Hallelujah. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. And if you don't believe God can do miracles today, think again. Some of us have loved ones, including myself. I suffer with afflictions. And I'm saying, God, will you remove this affliction? I hear God speaking to me all the time. And you know what he says to me? My grace is sufficient. Just keep serving me. I'll know when I will deliver you. Hallelujah. So you know what? I'm not begging him no more. Okay, God, you'll deliver me in your time, but I'm going to continue to serve you.
Amen.
Even in the pain, even in the neuropathy, even in all that. Hallelujah. I'm still going to serve you and praise you and glorify your name. Hallelujah. I'm not holding back. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I want to see him face to face. And I want to see him when he says to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And we look at this very last scripture here in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a what? Deceiver and an antichrist. Saints of God, I'm here to let you know that God, hallelujah, don't need us to defend him, because his word is already forever settled in heaven. All we need to do is speak the truth in love. It's not about convincing someone who Jesus is. It's about testifying on what he's done in your life.
Amen.
Can I get amen? Because
amen.
I'd rather tell them what he's done for me and what I've seen him do for others, and try to convince them that, you know, Jesus is God and you need to repent. You need to get in your heart. That's true, and you have to share that at some point. But tell them, the God that I serve does these kind of miracles. And we've seen it with our own eyes. I've seen God do a miracle with me. $500 of crystal methane in my sock. Like Brother G would tell, it's easy to say it like this. You was toe up from the flow up. Oh, that's right. I had weed in my pocket, crystal methane. I had some cocaine at home. Liquor bottles. You name it. I even had the girly books underneath my bed. And God, in a moment of time, within seconds, delivered me in front of that custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship. I drove from that place home, bawling like a little baby. I couldn't stop crying. And I knew he had delivered me from those things. I went home, took the crystal meth that I had bagged up. I dumped it all into the big bag, and then I flushed it. And I took the weed, and I took the rest of the cocaine I had in my sock drawer, and I bundled it. And then I went underneath my bed and a black trash bag. I put all the girly books in there. And I went to the back of the apartments where my brother was allowed me to stay on Flower Street in Chula Vista. In the apartments. And I threw them in the back of the trash. That was on a Thursday night. The following morning, I was compelled by God to go buy a Bible. And that following Sunday, I was in that church. And I was just so happy to be there. And I didn't know anything about God's word. I was just so happy to be there, my friends. And Pastor Mike McIntosh, who pastored that church for many years, he said, turn to the book, a of Philippians. Oh, I said to myself, they got Filipinos in the Bible. I wonder if they have the book of Mexico, because my mother's Mexican. That's how naive I had no knowledge of God's word. If you would have told me back then you're going to be a pastor down the road, I would have said, what are you smoking? But see, every one of us, when he saves us, he has a mighty plan for your life. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? You can't even comprehend what he has already in store for your life. My brother, God has a mighty plan for you. I see God doing something mighty in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Just by you coming and receiving is a sign to many of us, but it's a sign to your own self that God is alive and well and living in your soul. Yes. Hallelujah. And he's going to bless your life beyond comprehension. He's going to give you the desires of your heart according to his will. So whatever you're desiring that lines up with his will, he's going to open up doors that no man can shut. And he's going to bless you mightily, brother. Woo! I feel blessings coming for your way, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Do we serve a mighty God?
Amen, we do.
Hallelujah. And he's worthy what? Worthy to be praised. Can I get an amen? Amen? Worthy to be praised. Thank you, God. And those of you that have logged in this evening, we want to pray for you. Some of you logged in and maybe you've logged in several times. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you were just Google searching amazing or the song Amazing Grace, and then our website popped up. And now you're listening to this message by faith. Because we're praying that someone would listen to messages like this to give you hope. And if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous in your life. And so pray this prayer by faith and watch God do what he's going to do in your life. He's going to make your life so beautiful beyond your human comprehension. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy to be praised?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.